If you'd like to open to 2 Kings, we said we were going to start. We finished looking at a few passages on Elijah's life, and now we're going to start looking a little bit into Elisha's life and the work that he had done. And you know, it's a wonderful blessing to be able to come and to serve our God, and that's what we're looking at this afternoon. Ready for service. Ready for service. You know, there are a lot of people say they're prepared to serve the Lord, but when it comes to actually surrendering to do so, they balk a little bit. And I understand that. It's not an easy job to be completely surrendered. We have the pressures of family, or the pressures of marriage, the pressures of life. But many are only happy to serve in a limited capacity, or a conditional service, one where that may suits what they want to do, not actually what God calls them to do. And that's why it's always important, when you feel led of the Spirit to be able to do something, you need to go into prayer and make sure that it is God calling on your heart for somewhere where He wants to use you, and earnestly seek that out. And if you're not sure of whether God wants you to do anything or not, there's the challenge. Go to Him honestly, openly, with your heart, and say, Lord, where do you want me to serve? How do you want me to serve? And then when He begins to speak to you, then obey what God calls you to do. Now, I found in my life, and my wife's life, and many people I know closely, God's call always comes with two things that are key characteristics of serving Him, and they are surrender and submission. A minister was once asked by a very dear old friend of his. He said, how many members do you have in your church? And he replied, we've got 1,000 members. And he said, really? He said, that must be a very good church. He said, how many of them serve in the church? And he said, every one of them are active. That's what the pastor replied. They're all active. 200 are active for the Lord. 800 are active for the devil. That was the service. That was the service. And the question is, what category do we fall into? What category is, well, more importantly, where are we in the Lord's sight when it comes to service? You know, many sit in church and they get to be 40 or so, and then they think it's retirement time. They've done their bit, and they don't want to do too much anymore. And we in this church are very appreciative of those who have put their hand up to serve, those who turn up on time to set up the church. It's a big job setting up and pulling down every week. And when you're doing that, don't ever think it's a mundane thing. It's a blessing to be able to be part of the Lord's work and serving Him, whatever capacity you're in. Even just singing up loud is a great service to the Lord. But Matthew 12:30, Jesus reminds us, he that is not with me is what? Against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And in our text today, we see the receiving and the using of God's power for service. So open up 2 Kings chapter 2, and we see here Elisha's testing. Now, you know, you could probably use this to speak of Elijah being taken away in the chariot, but I want us to look today at the other fellow, that is Elisha, and being ready for service. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry ye here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Three times Elijah says to Elisha, tarry ye here? And three times Elisha replies, as thy soul liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. His love and his loyalty were tried. Three times again, verse 2 at Gilgal, verse 4 at Bethel, and verse 6 at Jordan. Now Gilgal to Bethel is about 13 kilometers. And the second part of that journey is a very rough and very tiring journey. Now Proverbs, and I'll read this verse. And Elisha went with his master. He was a good friend to Elijah. I want us to get that in our heads. He wasn't going to leave him. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Not just when times are good or times are easy. If you're a friend, you loveth no matter what, at all times. See, Elisha wasn't a fair-weathered friend. He stuck by his master Elijah. Now, there are many who say they are friends. They smile, they greet you, they pat you on the back, but without hesitation, they can turn on you. But not so with these two. These two extremely close, this shows a true brotherly love at work. You see, usually the servant would obey their master. But as we know in verse 3, the sons of the prophets at Bethel said to Elisha, knowest thou not that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And he does the same again in verse 5. But Elisha, he's going to remain with Elijah, his master, and he's ready to serve him. And he would serve him to the very end. Regardless of what people were saying to him, that Elijah's going to go, the Lord's going to take him. He says, no, I'm going to stay with him. I'm not going to leave you. Even though you ask me to tarry, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you to the end. In verse 6 at the end, it said, they too went on. They traveled on. This is their last walk together. I'd love to know what they talked about. I would have loved to know what that conversation was. The scriptures are silent about that. But I'd love to know what they were saying. But what I do know is they had each other's companionship. They were together, the close friends together, the one serving the other. And how much true friendship can mean to two souls who truly love the Lord, who have the same aims, the same ideals, the same direction, the same goal. What a blessing that is when two people have that together. Proverbs 29:7 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Psalm 119:63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. You know, they're the friends we want. They're the friends we nurture, the friends we can grow with, who have their direction from God, who have a sense of desire to serve and to honor God, on the same page, going in the same direction. They're good friends. They're faithful friends. They're friends who won't let you down. That was Elisha's call, Elisha's desire. Look at verse 8 and 9. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And here's Elisha's desire. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elisha might have asked for riches. He might have asked for a more comfortable life. Maybe some honour. Maybe some fame. Oh, Elijah's well known. He's done great. Well, that's what I wanted. That's what I want. But he wanted the true blessing. You know, the special inheritance and from an Israeli father to the eldest son was one of a double portion. And this is how close these two were. Elisha asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be upon him. We see here he's asking for the firstborn's share. He wants a double portion of his master's spirit. See, he knew without that, he couldn't possibly do the work that Elijah had done. He couldn't possibly have walked with the Lord the way Elijah had. But with it, he could go forward and do the most difficult of jobs. When I think of this, what was Elijah's spirit? Well, he had a spirit of loyalty to God. He had a spirit of devotion to God. He had a spirit of duty to God. He had a spirit that was willing to suffer hardship for his God. A spirit of faithfulness in rebuking sin. A spirit of courage in the face of danger. This is the sort of man Elijah was. And Elisha could see that in his master. And he said, that's what I want. That's what I need to take up the mantle. Now, we've all been called to work for our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he commissioned his disciples, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, Acts 1:8. And to witness for him wherever he has placed us is also our commission. To honour him and to love him, to serve him is our commission. And to do that, we must have the power of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, at work in our life. He has called us and we either answer the call or we don't. Now verse 10 in our text tells us that what Elisha asked for was a very hard thing. And he said, that's Elijah talking, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. That's a little bit of a difficult verse. But if he was able to understand what was happening to Elijah, if he had spiritual eyes and could see what was happening, if he were to see the chariots of fire, the horses, when Elijah was taken, he's going to receive a double portion. You see, spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. The natural man, the lost man, cannot understand them. And if you go forward a few chapters, I think chapter 6, when Elisha's servant was looking around wondering what's going on, Elisha says, can't you see on the hills and the mountains, the horses? And Elisha fulfilled the conditions for receiving the power. You see, he held on to his master. He wouldn't let him go. He wouldn't tarry and stay. He went with him. He wouldn't turn aside. In verses 2, 4, and 6, he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You know, there are times when God tests us to see if we are truly thirsty for the blessings that we petition him for. Isaiah 41:17 says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. We may think, well, I don't want to be hungry. I don't want to be thirsty. I don't want to be in the wilderness. But those things are necessary for God to be at work in our life so we understand who he is and how he works. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now Elisha went to Gilgal, and Joshua 5:9, we know that's a type of a place of separation, where God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. He went to Bethel, which we know is as a place of communion, Genesis 28 and 25. That's where Jacob met with God. And Jericho, we understand, is the place of victory in Joshua 6. And then they went to Jordan, which typifies death. Now, to the believer, Jordan represents death. Deuteronomy 4:31, Moses dying before entering into the promised land. Death to self. Death to being willing for the flesh and the old nature to be in the place of the new nature. We are to be in the place of death to ourselves. And we do that so there's no more room for self-glory. Jordan is a place where we deny ourselves, where we give up our own will, where we take up the cross daily. And Elisha's faith was tested. Jordan must be crossed. He must claim God's power to make a path through the waters. Now, he may not have felt any different, or that he'd even been given the power, but he believed the promise from his dear friend and his master Elijah. So he took up that mantle and he smote the waters. Verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. That's interesting. God worked for him. And I never ever see again where Elisha had to ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He had seen God at work. He knew the God of Elijah was his God. The same power that Elijah had was also available to him. And the thing is, have we ever asked that question? In the difficult times of our life, and in the times where faith is needed, have we ever in some words or even in some actions said, where is the Lord God? Where is he? Well, the answer for those spiritually discerning is that God is close beside us just where we are. Whether we're at home, whether we're at school, whether we're in the workplace, as we walk along the Christian walk and the road that God's laid out for us, he's right there with us. Psalm 46:1 tells us, to the musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Almoth, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, that we would spiritually discern the fact that we're never left alone by our God. He never turns his back on us. He's always with us. He may allow us to tread the roads through the valleys of the shadows of death, through the difficult times, but he's always there with us. He does not abandon us and leave us to ourselves or to the wiles of the devil. He's right beside us. He carries us. He listens to our call, our pleas, our cries. He has a desire for us to reach out to him. And if we but reach out, we will find him. A very present help in our trouble. And God honoured Elisha's faith and made a path through the waters for him. Elisha's grief. Do you know that these two, Elijah and Elisha, had done so much and shared so much during their ministry together? They had become so deeply attached to one another. It's not hard to understand Elisha rending his mantle. Elijah was gone. Think about it, there's not even a body left for him to mourn. Nothing, he's just gone. Nothing there. You know, God never rebukes us if we're mourning for the loss of a loved one. I've heard many people say, oh, you're right, you're a Christian, you don't have to cry. Cry all you like. Nothing wrong with mourning the loss of a loved one at all. Remember at the graveside of Lazarus, the Lord himself wept. The brothers and sisters, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 reminds us in our sorrow that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. See, our sorrow is not one of despair and loss for eternity. We don't sorrow that way. We sorrow for the momentary missing of our loved ones who are saved, because we know we'll spend eternity with them. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, God is the God of all comfort. If you need comfort today, he's the one. That's where you go. You need grace today. He's the God of all grace. Go to him. And lastly, we've got Elisha's resemblance to his master. We look at verse 15. When the son of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now this made me remember the people who took knowledge of Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. And at looking at this, can people see in us any resemblance to our Lord? We have the Holy Spirit. We should reflect our master as Elisha was doing his master. We should be walking in the image of our Savior, taking up his call upon our life. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the question I ask myself, and I pray that I can ask you, are you ready to serve your master? Are you ready to serve your master? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon our life. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We praise you, Lord, that we have your spirit living within us. And Lord, we ask that you would lay on our hearts the desire to do your will, that you would touch our hearts, Lord. Bring us a challenge to walk in the steps of our Master, our Lord, that we do it wholeheartedly and for your glory. That we not worry about what others say or think, but we only be concerned that we be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the many types and pictures that we take out of your word, Lord, that reflect our daily life also. And Lord, may we respond wholeheartedly to the call of your Spirit upon our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.